This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
That's how you know it's time for...
It's not J Law. It's not J Lo. It's Joy Law.
That's right. It's time for the Joy Law segment. Welcome to the studios, Jack and Chris from KHQ Lawyers.
Hiya, guys.
Hi.
Hey. Now, Rach.
Minions again. We did get a message through to Rach, Jack, and Dean at joy.org.au. And this question for this week is, I'm in a new relationship with a woman and she's pregnant. Congratulations. The donor is someone known to her. Will I be the child's mother if we marry?
Wow. Good question.
And what if you
what's the answer,
we don't
Chris?
Marry?
Gosh, where do I start? Okay, so a donor is not a legal parent, no matter what the circumstances. And I think we briefly touched on this a few weeks ago, but as long as there's been no sexual intercourse between the donor and the intended mother, then he's not a parent. Okay, so there's no child support obligations, no legal obligations, and nothing. So who is a parent? In a same-sex relationship, lesbians, they have to be in a de facto relationship and they have to also have consented to the procedure, which is kind of funny in itself. But that includes home insemination, IVF, or what they call IUI, which I can never remember what it stands for. It's basically just squirting it up there and... on a cycle.
Let's make it up.
It's, you know, not a technical, I'm not a doctor, no, as we'd say.
Intrauterine.
I think some, no. Yeah, could be.
Could be.
Insemination.
Insemination, yes. I think that, yeah, we'll go with that
one. A perfect legal term, insemination.
Insemination. So,
better than a squeeze in, right?
Exactly. Okay, we'll move on from that. Yeah. So the problem...
Jack.
I couldn't help myself.
We can't trust you.
That's right.
So in this situation, unfortunately, she was not in a relationship, I would assume, from her wording of her message. So she's not a legal parent. She will, if the relationship lasts, be a step-parent of this child. So she will have rights insofar as... a standing to make an application if their relationship broke down, but she's not a legal parent. So she can't make decisions such as medical decisions, schooling decisions. They will all fall to the biological mother, so her partner.
I've got a question. So I've got some friends from back home. I'm going to do my hardest not to say their names. I'm going to call them Sue and Ange. We discussed this earlier. I'm giving them fake names. Okay, so my friend is Sue. Her partner is Ange. Sue and Ange got together. Ange already had a 1.5-year-old.
Yep.
Sue came into this relationship, has helped raise said 1.5-year-old, who is now around 7. And in that time, Ange decided, was kind of persuaded by her mother to have another baby with the same father of the first child.
Yes.
But didn't go about it the turkey-based way. He is gay as well, so they were just like, oh, let's just do a reader magazine, get together, boom, make it happen.
Wow.
Baby gets made. So...
dedication.
Yes. So my friend, Sue, does she have any rights over these two kids that she has raised, one of which was... born whilst, you know, they were together, even though, yeah, they didn't necessarily go about it in a...
traditional.
Well
they did do it the traditional way, which has been their downfall.
The traditional lesbian way.
Yeah, so in terms of the 1.5-year-old, again, she's not a parent, and the donor, if it was through artificial insemination, regardless of the way, then he's not a father. So she would be the only parent in terms of the child's... parentage and status.
Yeah.
The other child, had they done the artificial insemination, then she would be a parent under the law. But because they had sex, then she's not a parent. And he's actually the biological father and will most likely, unless you know, there's been an issue with birth, deaths and marriages, he will be listed as a father on the birth certificate. So legally she has no parentage of either children. She can't make decisions for them. She can't change them schools. So if she was to separate, she's looking at... she's a step-parent to both children, and she would have to apply to the court as a person concerned with the children's welfare. But that's nothing more than, say, just say, you know, you and I were best mates, Rach, and you had a lot to do with my children.
Yeah.
Not that I have children, but you had a lot to do with them. We had a fight. I turned around and said, Rach, you're done, out of my life. And you said, you know what? I've been a really big role in these kids' lives. I'm going to apply to the court to spend time with them. So it's nothing more than that. So it's aunties, uncles, friends, step-parents, those sorts of things. The way we have a lot of situations, I have a lot of women that come to me with situations such as this, and what you can do is actually apply to the family court and say, these are our circumstances. She's not legally a parent, but you know what? We have the care of these children. We want an order for parental responsibility. And what that order is it gives you all the rights that a parent has under the law as if you were on the child's birth certificate. So you can do that by consent. If the donor, you know, says that's fine, he can just give his consent and you get orders from the family court.
So you don't have to follow, like, an adoption process?
No, not at all. And you know what? I know there was a big hoo-ha. It was fantastic. Same-sex people can now adopt and that's great. But what the law actually says in relation to adoption is if a family court order can remedy a situation for parental rights and stuff, then they won't grant an adoption. And in 99.9% of cases, a family court order for parental responsibility does that. So you don't really need to go through adoption. Yeah, it's really interesting though. Jack and I and James, our little offsider here, were having a chat this afternoon about, you know, donors and them not having any legal right to the children. And we thought about, well, they don't have to pay child support. They don't have to leave anything in their will. But it's really interesting, and I want to throw to Jack about this, because there could be the possibility that they could have a claim to their estate.
Yes, so... And also, just before we get into that, in two examples we've spoken about, we've had known donors.
Mm.
Now, going back before I speak about my issue, Chris, if the donor is unknown, from your perspective, and the child support or financial responsibility, does an unknown donor, assuming you can track them down, have any responsibility?
None at all.
And for a known donor?
It's the same.
Okay. So the issue for a donor, therefore, becomes... not under the act that you're talking about, but under the Administration and Probate Act.
Mm. So if something happens to the donor, and just say he's got a family with kids, what do, you know, he's got a family with kids, he's also had a child with as a donor. So can the donor-conceived child, can that child make a claim to his estate?
Well, assuming it's a non-conventional sexual union, not like the one...
So artificial insemination.
Artificial insemination. We've checked, James and I checked the Administration and Probate Act, and it's not entirely clear. It's not without doubt.
Okay.
So there are some issues legally for donors thinking about doing this.
Wow. So, yeah, it could go either way then.
Yeah. And, I mean, obviously unknown donor-recruited donors are... I mean, clinic-recruited donors are unknown donors. It's fine. You can get information about those donors, but if there's no kind of relationship with them, then, you know...
Christine, what happens is a lot of children that find out they've got a donor want to meet the donor when they grow up, and sometimes relationships develop.
Correct, yeah.
That can really feed into an administration probate claim by that child from the donor against the donor's estate.
Isn't it fascinating? So if you do have a question about these matters, you could always send us an email at rachjacksondean@joy.org.au, or we've got a new email address, joylaw@joy.org.au. Send the messages through during the week. We'll tell the team from KHQ Lawyers and we'll have a bit of a chat about it on air.
Fantastic.
And we're also about to start podcasting these segments as well, so So if you do miss it and you want to catch up, you can go to our website, joy.org.au.
Thank you
very much, Chris.
Thanks,
and
guys.
Thanks for joining us.
A pleasure.
KHQ Lawyers offer family law advice for the LGBTI community that you can trust.
Our team has expertise in all areas of law relating to rainbow families, including surrogacy, sperm and egg donation agreements, adoption, arrangements for co-parenting and children after separation, and property settlements, including financial agreements.
We provide a free 30-minute consultation and adopt a flexible approach to billing, offering fixed fee arrangements and upfront estimates to suit your requirements.
Find out more and get in touch at khq.com.au. KHQ Lawyers are a proud Joy sponsor.
You can find more Joycast and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.